Hey everybody, welcome to my world. How's your world doing today? Has it been as crazy as mine has? Well, I'll tell you what, you get a short night's worth of sleep and then you have a long day and it's something else. So, what we're trying to do here is we're going to have a guest. We're going to talk about a couple different things that we have maybe talked about before, maybe not. I mean, how do you get public trust from government? We'll talk a little bit about that. Also, we're going to talk about AI, artificial intelligence. Sometimes I wonder, does it work or doesn't work? And I'll talk to you about a certain experience I had recently with it. And we'll have a guest on with Quentin, my good old buddy from Wilmington. And we're going to be talking about a lot of different things. And we've got some funny stuff too. Some good old boy stuff. So I think you'll enjoy it. So sit back, get your snacks, get your favorite beverage out, relax, and let's get on with it. Nothing in this show should be considered legal, medical, financial, or investment advice. Take what we say with a big grain of salt and always do your own research and due diligence. We're not responsible for and expressly disclaim all liability for damages of any kind arising out of use, reference to, or reliance on any information contained in this broadcast. Any persons or characters mentioned are, for the most part, fictional or as close to it as we can get. So sit back, relax, and chill out. And hey, tell your friends about the show too. And I will post a link to tonight's show on our Facebook page. And check out Trim Radio, okay? You want to check out Trim Radio. And before we get going, I always have to do some plugs. And a big one goes out to the Trim Radio Network, better known as trimradio.com. And we have a lot of stuff to talk about. But here's the Fab Four. These are the guys that basically run the operation. We've got Michael Bejas, who's the founder and CEO. We have Rascal Stefan, the Chief Operating Officer. We have myself. I guess I'm the chief relationship officer, whatever that means. I guess I'm supposed to make people happy. Well, I try. And then we have Victoria Smith, who's the chief marketing officer, and she's responsible for all the marketing activities, brand development, audience growth, and creator acquisition strategies. But then we have our computer guru, Rascal Stefan. And we all have shows here on the Trim Radio Network. And I'll tell you what, we're adding to those shows. We have Money and Change every Sunday at 7 p.m., Life Walk with Christ God, Wednesday at 7 p.m., My World, Live, Laugh, and Whatever, 8 p.m. We have the Natural Marketer Podcast with Victoria Smith. So if you have a company, a club, a sorority, a fraternity, college, university, you name it, and you want to get marketing advice, contact Victoria. And we also have Offsides College Football Top 25 with Michael Bejas and company. We have the Positude Podcast. That's Friday, 8 p.m. We have the Adventure Waits Around the Bend show, and that's going to be on Saturday at 1 p.m. And then at 1:30, we have Ranch It Up with Tigger and Beck. That's at 1:30. Oh, and then Saturday night from 9 until midnight, we have Rascal Stefan. And he has a good show. It's the Red Pill Reality Show. You can either take the red pill or the blue pill. I've tried to get him to give me the green pill, but he hasn't done that yet. I've been on the show a couple of times, and I check in from time to time and chat and have a good time there. We also have Revelation. That's every Thursday night. That's with Peter Kling. And then we have Let's Talk About It with Dora Sherry. Yeah, she's a newbie. And she has a good show, too. She has a lot of good guests on there. And if you want to do your own show, hey, you can do it. All you have to do is contact us. Now, how do you contact us? You hit the red button over here. When you click on that, this comes up. It says, how may we help you today? You put your name in. You put your phone number in. You say, hey, I want to know more about doing my own show, or I want to know more about advertising or buying the merchandise at trimradio.com. And then all you do is click on send the message and somebody will be right back with you. It's a good deal. So just click on that red dot. That's all you have to do. Now, if you want to buy the merchandise, because the money that we get in from selling the merchandise goes strictly into paying for airtime for the shows. So you can go ahead and get t-shirts, you can get hats, you can get mugs, you can get short sleeve shirts, insulated mugs with lids, ceramic mugs, t-shirts, pique polo shirts, and we have other items too. That's on page two. We have kids' t-shirts. We have offsides football black glossy mugs. We have the Red Pill Reality Show mug. We have the Red Pill Reality Show t-shirt. We have the round mouse pad. You can't corner a mouse on a round mouse pad, can you? The Trim Radio or Trim Creators Dad's hat and the beanie. You know, right now it gets a little cold in the mornings here in Ohio. And so, you know, if you need a beanie, hey, get it from us, will you? The Trim Creators Studio Rubber Case for AirPods. Yeah, check that out. And if you don't want to buy the merchandise, but you want to donate, all you have to do is donate and hit the contact us button right over here, the red dot. Hey, my name, phone number, and how do I donate? Or how do I buy airtime for advertising? And our rates are very, very reasonable. And we go all over the world. So you might get some international business out of it, okay? So you want to check into that. Well, we have our little page on the Trim Radio page, and it shifted on me again. Dang, got it. I have to find a way to stabilize just this one spot. But we have our own page, and we have jokes and things that I post different places. And if you want to check out my personal page, you just look up Stu Scheer and you can do that. And every time I do a show, I always put the information up like you're seeing right now with My World, Live, Laugh, and Whatever. And if I have any videos to add to it, I will do that. And that's no problem. Oh, and I check things from time to time. Probably every other day. Oh, hey, I think we have somebody coming in. And I bet you I know who that is. But we're not ready quite yet, but we'll get them in here. I'll tell you. Check out our Trim Radio pages. Okay, trimradio.com. Check them out. You can check out the Live, Laugh, and Whatever page. Okay, and that's updated. And I put videos in there, plus some of the topics we're going to cover. And I'll tell you what, there's a lot of stuff out there. But you know something? My goodness, I have a guest. And I probably need to bring that guest in. Sooner or later, I need to bring that guest in. Somebody popped in that wasn't supposed to. Ah, there you are. My good buddy, Quentin, better known as Santa. How's everything down in Wilmington?
Oh, it's fine. The weather has been great the couple of days, although it looks like it's starting to get a little dark and may get some rain here.
Well, we haven't had much up here. We were supposed to have rain last night. Well, it didn't happen. And we thought it might happen this morning. It didn't happen. And who knows? I don't think we'll have rain for probably about 3 or 4 days. Who knows?
I think it's supposed to rain here tomorrow, maybe Friday. But, it had that feel in the air around 5 o'clock or so.
Yeah, I know. We get that feel in the air and you don't know what's going to happen. And it's just one of those things. Welcome to the Midwest, right?
Right. I'm actually headed south tomorrow.
I know you said you're going down to where?
Going down to Mississippi. We moved to Mississippi when I was 12 from New Jersey, which meant junior high, high school, and college there. And I graduated in 1976 from high school. So this is my 50-year high school reunion, which, yeah, I look at all my friends' Facebook pages, and dang, they've all gotten old.
Oh, yeah, I noticed that on mine. We've got mine coming up this fall, and we're all sitting around going, God, everybody looks old except me.
Right.
You know,
I don't feel this old.
Oh, no.
Well, no. Right, my mind does not feel this old. There are parts of my body that definitely feel this old.
Yeah.
I had to cut the grass yesterday before we left, and then I went to the AWS open house that they had out at the Clinton County Fairgrounds, and I spent about, close to 3 hours standing up and going from booth to booth asking questions about the data center. So I got home, and I reached over to my bedside table, and I pulled out my bottle of Celebrex and took one.
Oh, boy. Well, hey, I'll tell you what. I had an interesting experience this week. Matter of fact, just 2 days ago. And people that follow me know that I play in a band, a community band. And when I play, you know, sometimes the lips don't want to work.
What do you play?
I play trumpet. I've played it for probably 65 years, but you know, I played in big bands, small bands, university bands, whatever, and I have fun doing it. Don't make any money at it, but I have fun. And I thought, okay, I'm going to contact my buddies down at Austin Custom Brass, which is down in Kansas City, and I bought one of my professional horns from them. I'm probably going to buy another one. But anyhow, I thought the mouthpieces that I have that were custom, for some reason, they just aren't working for me. I'm getting a certain type of a buzz sound and I can't break it. So the only thing I know is to go from a 3C to a 5C. And So I would just go ahead and contact them. Well, I got online and I started chatting with Austin Custom Brass. And I've talked with Trent Austin several times, plus his staff down there. Very good operation for instruments. And they only handle brass instruments. And they're very good at what they have. And anyhow, here I am. I'm chatting online. And they're asking me different questions. And we're talking back and forth. Well, I remember the last time that you bought this one mouthpiece and you thought it would work. Well, it did for a while, then it didn't. Okay. Well, then you got this other thing. And then you bought this horn. And then you did. I'm typing this stuff out and trying to get conversations going back and forth. I wanted information on a 5C mouthpiece that Trent would make custom. And finally, at the very end of the conversation, it says, we'll contact you. We'll have somebody at the shop contact you. And this has been artificial intelligence generated. I mean, it was probably a 15-minute dialogue typing back and forth. And here I've just been AI'd and didn't know it.
I have echoes throughout the whole house, and our 5-year-old granddaughter, we get home and her mother tells us that she had carried on an hour-long conversation with Alexa. Which, you know, sort of innocent, but it's also sort of scary in a way. So we asked Alexa what they talked about. It was completely innocent. But yeah, she'll go in one of the rooms and she'll start having a conversation with Alexa. And she was 5.
Oh, geez. Could you imagine somebody with a parrot and the parrot got to talk to Alexa? That would be a trip. That would be a trip. Hey, I've got something. In looking at this artificial intelligence stuff, and I know we've talked about data centers and all kinds of stuff. And I thought, well, let's talk about artificial intelligence and see what happens. I mean, we know about the centers. We know that it's going to be a lot of electrical usage, a lot of water usage, and so forth. We know the pitfalls. But actually, you have to work with AI. It's interesting. And one time I was at a lodge meeting, and we present research papers that we do on different topics. And one of the guys that we had in that group was working on his PhD. And he had this paper done about Hiram Abiff, who was the architect of King Solomon's Temple. And I'm listening to him present this paper. And finally, towards the end, it said that he had a wife and 2 daughters, which he didn't have. AI interjected those into the research paper.
It hallucinated.
Yes, it really hallucinated on whatever it was taking at the time. And so anyhow, the presenter, very learned engineer from Collins Aerospace, he's saying, I didn't write this. And we said, well, why did you present it? He says, well, I wanted to see your reaction. And it said, he said, at the very end is when it put the zingers in there. And he said, that was all artificial intelligence. We put the basic data in there and it presented a 23-page report with footnotes, except the zingers with the kids and a wife didn't exist.
So you've seen some of the videos I've been putting together for the last week or so.
Oh, yeah. I love those things. I really do.
And my wife went to the gym this morning, and one of the women came up to her, you know, said, hey, are you Quentin's wife? And she said, yes, I am. She said, I want you to know, I just love those videos. Is that him singing in those videos? And my wife, you know, ratted me out, said, no, that's not him. But he does sing. Just that is not him singing in those videos.
Well, when I saw those videos that you did, I thought, man, those are fantastic. I really like how you do it. And you did ChatGPT and whatever. That's beyond my pay grade.
Each one of those takes between 12 and 14 hours to create. And it's not all AI. I just don't. I use ChatGPT to create the lyrics, and I give it an outline of what I want, and it'll create the lyrics. And then I use it to create the prompts to put into Suno. And then I've created those avatars that I'm using. I go to HeyGen and I generate, you know, it's a pretty stiff video and it has some lip sync problems, but it's still pretty good. But then I revert to old school. I've been putting together slideshows set to music for over 2 decades, and I'm pretty adept at using an app called PowerDirector. So then I take all of that stuff that I have and I go old school and create a video using PowerDirector. You know, input a mixture of AI generated and live shots. I'll have a still, and I'll take the still and I'll create 10 seconds of action. So like I had a shot of the bikers in the American Legion parking lot. I just had a still shot. Well, I wanted them moving it around. So I told the AI app that I would use it, hey, take this shot and make these people just move around, just randomly move around, stop and talk to each other. And I got 10 seconds of that and inserted it in there. And it's really interesting, you know, and I'm old to be doing this stuff. And you know, there's some people out there creating things that are absolutely unbelievable. And I've probably been using AI for about 3 years. And I started using it with my Santa stuff that I was doing. And we, as a group of Santas, I belong to several Santa groups, but one of the groups, we had a meeting on the use of AI. And we're going to start having a weekly meeting, one meeting a month dedicated to talking about how we're using AI. It's already, and it has been impacting the Santa experience for some time with videos, something like what you experienced with the customer service AI rep, but where people will use that to create a video for a visit with a child, or the child is interacting with an avatar. So we have that to deal with. And, you know, and for me as a Santa, you know, it's a performance. And that's the difference between me and AI, is the experience that I can create, the reaction that I can create in person, the connection I can make with a child. You can't do that over a AI generated video. So we're going to have to compete with that in that way. And there are Santas who have lost gigs because of AI. I've had friends and family who have lost jobs to AI. And it's a tool, and it's important to remember that it's a tool and not let it rule your life or ruin your life.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, I'll tell you what, I found some stuff. You know, we were talking about AI, I don't know how many different sessions, and something popped out today and it hit me between the eyes. All this going to data centers and everything. Catherine Austin Fitz, who used to be the head of HUD years ago, and she's basically a financial expert. She's since retired from the government game. But she brought out a really interesting point. Let's see if I can bring that up for you. Get your reaction.
Okay.
If I can get it going here, let's see. If I can find it, come on.
I got someone trying to pump.
Oh, I get so much different stuff here. Okay, let's see here. This is her. All right, let's see what she says. This is interesting. She's an expert.
So what is AI good at? AI is very good at tracking things that can be expressed mathematically. And financial transactions and spatial movement can be expressed mathematically. And so what the AI centers are for primarily is to build that digital control grid. The control grid is a process or an infrastructure that allows digital technology to be used to assert phenomenal surveillance and control of people. Yes. And at the very heart of it is what I call programmable money. So it's money that is no longer just a currency, it's money that comes with a set of rules that can be surveilled and enforced. So imagine back in the pandemic, if your money, if I said, okay, you've got a lockdown and your money won't work if you leave your house, you can't buy gas in your car, because your money is programmed with AI and software to enforce a whole set of centralized rules. And programmable money allows the bankers who've been running monetary policy to now control fiscal policy and essentially replace legislatures and executive branch by making and enforcing the rules through the money. Now, that requires a large infrastructure of surveillance. So you need digital IDs, and then you need the hardware locally and globally to do the surveillance and implementation. So I don't know if you know flock cameras, but there are many communities across the United States that are entering into contracts paid by the taxpayers to put up cameras all around their neighborhood that track license plates and keep that data and share it with a variety of people. Or you have the FCC is trying to overrule local controls on cell towers, so they can literally put cell towers every 400 to 700 feet so that they can have the kind of invasive surveillance you need. Or you have satellites now that can literally beam in Wi-Fi so that whether you have Wi-Fi in your home or not, they can start to track you. But we are now moving into building out the kind of surveillance systems that can literally track, identify, and integrate with not only our existing weaponry, but ultimately autonomous weaponry. So let me step back. You've got three parts to the control grid. One is the local hardware and infrastructure, and that includes the data centers. Because if you...
The data? I thought those were for AI.
They are. Because if you look at what it takes to apply the equivalent of a social credit system to people's money, so the social credit system I apply to you is different than the one I apply to me. And if you look at the data I need to track you and test whether or not you're following the rules I've given you and enforce those rules, it's an explosive amount of data, particularly because you're looking not just at financial control, but spatial control. So let me step back. So what is AI good at? AI is very good at tracking things that can be expressed mathematically. And financial transactions and spatial movement can be expressed mathematically. And so what the AI centers are for primarily is to build that digital control grid and to manage that data. If you look at the cameras, if you look at the cell towers, if you look at the satellites, and then the AI, the data centers, those are all component pieces of the local hardware. So there are three sort of pillars that I track. One is the programmable money. The second is the digital ID, because you need a global, you need digital ID systems that are interoperable globally, and then the local hardware. And those are sort of the three pillars. And what's interesting is there's phenomenal development of all three. And ever since the inauguration, it's been moving very, very quickly. So let me, mathematically. And so what the AI centers are for primarily is to build that digital control grid.
Yep.
So Stu, do you have a Ring camera? Do you have any Ring cameras?
No, I have Blink.
Okay. So I have a mixture of Ring and Blink, and the Ring cameras are a little bit better quality. Blink is cheaper. But about 3 months ago, I have this offer pop up with a free trial to where Ring would monitor the movement on the cameras and identify people that were walking up to my house or down the street and tell me, oh, Libby's home. She's, do you want to let her in type thing? That's in our homes. I declined the offer because I'm cheap and I didn't want to pay for it. I'm not that interested to know who's walking down the street. But the technology is in your doorbell.
Well, I don't have a doorbell, but my Blink cameras, several years ago, somebody tried to break in to my shed in the middle of the night, about 3 o'clock in the morning. And my window was propped open because it was summertime. I needed the fresh air, and I'm sleeping. And all of a sudden I heard this voice, are you ready? And this other guy says, yeah, let's do it. All of a sudden they turned the corner, my security light came on and they took off. And at that point I said, okay, I'm going to try to find something that's reasonable and get cameras. Okay, now the house is set up. So you come into the house, you're on camera. You walk around the house, you're on camera. You go to the shed, you're on camera. So the only thing that happened that night was those two guys came back, but they went to the house behind where I live, and they tried to break in there. And the guy had a husky. Mm-hmm. And the husky was making noises like it had to go outside to, you know, use the potty. So the guy gets out of bed and he lets the dog outside. 15 minutes later, the dog's back at the door and he's barking. The guy goes and he opens the door and in comes the dog with some pants. So he had to hold one of the guy's pants as he was trying to climb over their fence. I have my cameras, and if I'm not here, they're on. If I am here and I'm sleeping or whatever, then it's there. But this Catherine Austin Fitz, she makes a lot of good points about AI.
Well, I was sitting there, and you know what I was thinking about was the Sylvester Stallone movie where he was the judge and every restaurant was Taco Bell. And he never did figure out how to use the shells either. But that's what it was making in my mind, that sort of Orwellian surveillance state.
Yeah, and there are a lot of jokes about Taco Bell too. And I'll tell you, one of the latest one was, Graham Bell, who was the inventor of the telephone and so forth. I forget his first name.
Alexander,
that's right. And he had a brother. And he was very famous, but he was Mexican. He was known as Taco Bell. cheap joke.
But think about this. I just bought an older pickup to tow our trailer. It's a 2001 three-quarter ton. And it's not going to be a daily driver. And just something, because we have a 30-foot Airstream, I wanted something to be able to tow through the mountains that my half ton won't do. And the first thing one of my friends said to me is, oh, they can't monitor you while you're in that truck, because I have my 2016 truck, my wife's 2017 Camaro. Those are our new vehicles. They're 10 years old. But they both have OnStar. You know, they have GPS. You know, they're bouncing off the cell towers. If you want to know where I am, if I'm driving one of those vehicles, and think about the cases that have been solved with that level. There is nothing anonymous that we do anymore. I could go, say I had something nefarious I wanted to do a couple of states over. Think about how many license plate readers I'm going to go through, how many cell towers I'm going to bounce off of, how did they kiss that guy who murdered those college students in Idaho? You know, cell phone towers and license plate readers and...
Welcome to the surveillance state.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, I got one for you. You see all this stuff going in. I've seen reports where certain communities are saying, we don't want the flock cameras anymore.
They are in a couple of the communities here in Clinton County, if I remember reading correctly.
Well, see, we don't have any in Piqua where I live. But just outside of Piqua, we have several of them. And basically, they're watching who comes into the city and who leaves the city. You go down to neighboring Troy, and they have a bunch of them down there. And then I guess, I don't know if Dayton has them or not, but it kind of helps with crime prevention, but do you really need them? That's the big thing. So anyhow, that's the Flock cameras. So they're saying, get the Flock out of here in some locations, you know. And I don't blame them. I mean, years ago, we never had anything like that. Of course, we never had the crime that we have. I mean, every town had a local town drunk. And that was about it.
Everyone knew who the bad kids were.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And they knew in spades. So, I mean, that's just the way it was. Hey, I got a funny here for you.
If I
can get this on here. I think what I'm going to do is, we'll do a little Emma. Let's see what Emma says.
Talk to somebody who thinks every story is just a warm-up for their story. Well, here's...
Well, she's not talking right now. She is now.
You ever talk to somebody who thinks every story is just a warm-up for their story? Well, here's a few polite ways to remind them it ain't a competition. Allow me to demonstrate. Wow, I didn't realize we were competing. What's the prize? Dang, that's crazy. It's like everything that happens to me happens more to you. Well, gosh, if I had a dollar for every time you topped something I said, I'd finally beat you at something. Daggum, you must be exhausted from running laps around everybody's stories. Are you allergic to not being the center of attention? So let them talk. Hit them with a smile, and one of these works like a charm. You ever talk to somebody who thinks every story is just a warm-up for their story? Well, here's a few polite ways to remind them it ain't a competition. Allow me to demonstrate. Wow, I didn't realize we were competing.
Yeah. Now, if that thing would have sequenced like I wanted to sequence, we wouldn't have had that problem.
Well, my wife, we had some friends in Minnesota, and she was one of those people who had a story to top your story every time. And there was this one time she took it too far many times, but one time was the last time that my wife had just had enough. So she was going to write an email and tell her about it, but she wanted to sit on it and cool off before she sent it. So she wrote it up, told her she didn't like the person that she was when she was around with her, and then accidentally hit send to her. That was pretty much the end of that relationship.
Well, but yeah, so, go ahead.
We don't really miss them either.
Well, I'll tell you what, there was one where they said, now, down south, you just don't say bull hooey. I'll put it that way. I got to keep it
okay. Clear.
You know, and we just say, well, that's nice. And so every time they start with the BS, you just counter with, well, that's nice. And I thought, yeah, that would be great until they found out what that nice means, you know.
But, well, you have the classic bless your heart.
Oh, bless your heart. Yes, yes, yes. Pea picking heart.
Yeah.
Bless your pea picking heart. Yeah, I know. You run into that. Hey, there was one thing I thought we would touch on tonight, and the time remaining is, how do we gain the public's trust if we're a city commission or if we're in government? Now, both of us worked in government. Okay, mm-hmm. We worked in the private sector. And lately, we're having the same thing happen in Piqua and Sydney that's happening in Trenton and Wilmington with these data.
Yeah, I thought, until we all started talking to each other, I thought it was just a Wilmington thing. I did not realize how pervasive of an issue this was. And I spent a lot of time thinking about that. And at the AWS open house last night, I told the customer and engagement manager, the problems that you're having are your own doing, because you did not engage with the stakeholders. You didn't engage with the residents until you're trying to just drop it down on them 2 days before it's going to become approved. And, you know, I've been trying to figure out the root cause of this. I'm actually supposed to have a interview published by Informa Tech Target where I talk about managing change. And if you were looking at this from an IT project standpoint, the data centers have failed on change management because they have tried to keep the information withheld. And if you're not going to be transparent and not going to be accountable, you aren't going to have trust. And the only way that you're going to start to be able to regain that trust, if you start being forthcoming with the information and engaging the citizens in the decision that are being made for their community.
You have to be upfront all the way around.
Right.
And you have to communicate. That's the big thing. And sometimes these guys come in and they don't have empathy. They don't listen. They have poor listening skills. They just know that, okay, this is the goal. We want it done a certain way. And how do we force these people into our way of thinking?
I look at, you know, where did this originate? And they're getting their advice from attorneys. And what do attorneys work in? They work in privilege and confidentiality. They don't work from us. They want to hold their stuff close to the vest so no one can counteract what they're doing. And that's the advice that these people are getting, rather than, you know, how do I, rather than look, you know, the IT model for projects, when you're, we, you know, I haven't rolled out, I don't know how many large projects, and a key part of a project is change management, where you engage with the stakeholders. You may be creating this big new project that's going to cause half the jobs to go away. You need to start talking with people about that upfront and make them part of the process. Yeah, they may not like it, but it's not going to be quite as bad. When I was an elected official, one of the responsibilities I had was negotiating contracts with employee bargaining units. And you know how secretive, if you've ever been involved with that, particularly in the public sector, how secretive that bargaining is. You know, administration wants to be behind the scenes and look at the numbers where no one else can see and calculate down to the half cent how much of a raise they want to do. I made the meetings public and invited the press in, invited the reps in. And when we sat down with our finance people, they were sitting right there at the table seeing the same numbers that we were. And you just end up with a better product when you involve people.
I had a friend of mine that I grew up with, and he was a labor relations, negotiator out of Cincinnati. And I've known Dan for a long time. And he said, you'd be surprised, you go into these negotiation sessions and you're there till 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. And then you have to turn around and get back up at 7 o'clock and come back in. And hopefully you have a report ready. I said, you ever sleep? He said, sometimes. And sometimes I sleep during the meetings. So, you know, it's getting people to come together and work as a team. That's the key thing. But in negotiations, it's always the one-upsmanship, you know. Our data is better than your data. And it's a never-ending situation in negotiations.
You know, unfortunately, our state government is creating an environment where there's even more secrecy around what's going on. They're wanting to severely limit public record requests, so you can't get a hold of. And I had this issue with the Court of Claims as well, where they said, first off, they'll tell you, no, your claim's too broad. You need to make it narrower. Then you make it narrow, which means you have more requests. Now you're asking for too many different things. And so it's a catch 22. But then the state has, looked at many times trying to limit the number of public requests someone can do. And with those data center issues, like today, one of the data center people with the WRRD had a public record request answered, and come to find out, back in the middle of April, the city had turned down a zoning request that would have been impacted by the referendum that's happening this fall on a rezoning. And, no public notice of any kind, no telling anyone in the public about this. And the community would not have known, but for this one person asking for a public record. And there is just this whole sort of, theme that it feels like we can't share anything about what's going on because you may stop us from doing it.
Yeah, you run into that, and it's like, if we can all sit down at the table and work things out and come to a conclusion that's satisfactory for all sides, that's fantastic. But sometimes government is its own worst enemy sometimes. It's like people used to say, who do you work with or work for? And I said, I work for the state of confusion. The state of confusion, I said, well, it's the state of Ohio, but it's the state of confusion when you really take a look at it. And they said, okay, what else about it? I said, well, we have our own motto. You have met the enemy and they is us. And when you take a look at everything that goes on, government is its own mess. You have all these rules and regulations you go through that you have to follow, whether it's not only federal regs, but you also have state regs you have to follow. And to move projects along and get things done, you're following the guidelines and everything to the T, and then somebody higher up says, oh, I think we can jimmy this and make things work this way. And that causes a problem. And it's just in looking at different things that the government does and how they don't really want to really work with the public until they're absolutely forced to. And it's like our commissions. I've been told that our commission in Pickwa sits up there and they will let the people in the community have 5 minutes to discuss or present what they questions they want. Then they write it down and they say, we'll get back to you. Well, there's no give and take there. They just sit there and listen. And no response back. And I think that might be the same way in Trenton too.
Wilmington's very similar to that. And there's some sunshine. It's difficult to add an additional agenda item on. Although it seems like Trenton doesn't have a real problem with doing that, nor does Wilmington either. It's coming around last minute and creating an agenda item. As an elected official, you have an obligation to listen. And you may not like how it sounds. And you just have to sit there and take it. And you say, thank you. Next, please.
Bless your pea-picking heart.
Right. And I told my fellow council members, and you have the crazies who come talk to you and they're angry about something. And I told them, you have to listen for their truth. There is something they are upset about. and you have to listen to find out what that is so you can address it. And I don't know, I'm looking at our city council and I don't think they get that concept. And they don't understand, you know, they're of an attitude that they shouldn't go out and talk to the public and find out what they're concerned about. That if we have an issue, we're supposed to go tell them about it. Not that they'll do anything about it. But the one thing I have found that's really difficult for me to understand about Ohio is they don't have to have public comments in a public meeting. And where I was and the way we run our city council, we had a minimum of three opportunities for each person to speak. Before the meeting started, as part of the opening, we had just general public comments. If there was an item on the agenda that someone wanted to talk about, we would set it aside and the members of the public could talk about it. And this was separate from a public hearing. This was just a regular agenda item at the time it was being considered. Anyone could talk about it. Now, the interaction was limited because of the sunshine law concerns. And the third time they could talk was at the end of the meeting. You know, sometimes that was 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And if they managed to stick around that long, yeah, they could get up and talk. And it's just been difficult for me to understand how suppressive local government is of listening to its citizens.
At one point, we used to have a work session where they would go to, for example, the Piqua Plaza, which has a big ballroom up in there. It's a beautiful building. If you ever get a chance to come to Piqua, mm-hmm. take a look at the public library and the plaza. It is just a beautiful place, especially up on the, what is it, second and third floor?
Okay. Well, there's a street in Piqua that just a house or two that just is this amazing light display that I've seen.
Oh yeah, yeah. We have a few, but I'll tell you what, they had these public work sessions, and sometimes they'd have them out on the mall, or they would have them in the library up in the ballroom section, and they'd have these public meetings, and you could ask questions and so forth. And then all of a sudden, when they started getting the battery burning issue and other issues, data center, it's like they're not having those. And it's like, we really don't want to discuss it because there are legal issues involved and so forth. And people are getting upset because when they go to a meeting, you have to turn in a card with your question you want to ask. And then that's passed on to the head of the commission or the mayor, and you can come up when he calls you up to present your question. And years ago, if there was an issue with what was going on, they said, okay, now it's the public comment time. You can walk up and you could give your address and state your concern. And there would have a little bit of back and forth communication there. And they would resolve to get it fixed. Not now. Not with all the stuff going on with the data center. And same thing up in Sydney. I mean, everything that I've seen in the groups that I belong to for Sydney, and basically only because I go to Lodge up in Sydney, but those people have the same problems we have that you guys have and Trenton has. It's some people are saying the commission isn't listening to the public, or they're not leveling with the people. And that distrust is causing a lot of problems. And what we need to do is say, hey, let's sit down and be adults about it and discuss the issues back and forth, maybe in a work session. If we can't do it during a commission meeting because we have a set agenda, maybe during a work session, we could address those questions and concerns, and maybe we could get something worked out there. But with all this data stuff going on and the animosity with the battery burning and everything else, it has caused a problem. Now, the city manager that was here is no longer here. He retired. And it's going to take the next city manager coming in to get all of this figured out, smoothed over, and finally get the public trust back.
It's going to be difficult with the attitude at the state house, you know, with the requirement that economic development data be held confidential. And I'm going to blame the attorneys. You know, Boreas wrote a playbook. Well, they didn't write the playbook. They put the playbook in writing and published it on a realtor site where everyone could see it, and talks about how you keep information from the public about data centers. And I think it goes back to that attorney mentality of we want to keep our information to ourselves, and we don't want anyone else's to know what we're doing and what we're thinking, because if you do, you might make us do something different.
Hey, here's something I want to interject here, because I've been following this up here, and I don't know if you have anything there. This is called Piqua Watch.
Okay. I think you sent me a couple of these.
Yeah. And it's an interesting situation. And sometimes they talk a little bit about Sydney too, but they talk about the battery burn era and the data center era, parts one and two and so forth. But then they have all this other stuff you can take a look at, and you can say, okay, how do I fill out a FOIA request? There it okay. is. Okay.
And now, this is a website.
This is a website, and it's called Piqua Watch, all one word, .com. Mm-hmm. And I'll post it on the Facebook okay. page. But anyhow, we've got that. They have the news that's going on with the data center, governance, finance, and so forth. I don't know who put this together, but I'll tell you what, it is an excellent source of information, and it covers a lot of information. But the basically sources that they have are WHIO, WDTN, Dayton 24, Miami Valley Today, Dayton Daily News, the city, Civic Capacity. Now, I want to tell you something. Bill Lutz writes the Civic Capacity. At one point, he worked for the city of Piqua, and he did their government sessions for citizens. It was fantastic. But check this site out. It's called PiquaWatch.com.
Well, and Stu, it looks like we're 8:59 here. So.
Yeah, it looks like we got to bail out of here. You got to get the heck all the way down to Mississippi.
Yeah, 6 o'clock in the morning.
Hey, you have a safe trip. We'll get back together when you get back, okay?
Okay. Talk to you later.
With that, guys, bye. Quinn's going to leave. I'm going to have to bail out because I've got stuff I need to get done, too. I hope you enjoyed the show. Check us out on Facebook and YouTube. And eventually, we'll get it to Rumble. And with that, you have a good one, and we will talk to you later. Have a good week, and we'll be with you Sunday with Money and Change. See ya.
In a world drowning in noise, where truth is often buried beneath layers of propaganda and misinformation, there's a need for a different kind of a network. A network of creators that cuts through the clutter, that doesn't shy away from tough topics, and that delivers the unfiltered truth. We are Trim Radio Network. We are creators. We are innovators. We are investigators. We're the ones who aren't afraid to call a spade a spade. If you're ready to participate in thought-provoking discussions, informational topics, and of course today's biggest headlines, subscribe to our YouTube channel today. We're Trim Radio Network. We're cutting the bull and serving the truth.